Got a sprain or an itch, pain that's swelling or twitch, call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, Medical Director and Physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. Recently, I came across a documentary on Netflix called What the Health? At first, it was not the topic itself that got me to watch it, but the intriguing name with the play on words. Well, anyway, after an hour and a half of watching the documentary, Carmen and I agreed that this was a prime subject for our radio show. The show and its contents glued us to our seats for the entire hour and a half, a long time to stay transfixed to a good movie, let alone a documentary. But this one did.
The documentary starts out with slow motion video of people walking. In particular, an obviously obese person walking across the screen, while the speaker says, the diabetes, the heart disease, the dementia, the obesity, the cancers are affecting about 70% of deaths. It then goes on to tell us that
18% of children are morbidly obese right now.
I'm not going into a complex discussion of everything in the documentary. We really recommend that you watch it, whether or not you agree with everything that the producers put into it. There are, of course, many who dispute the facts and even the way it was presented. But nevertheless, the documentary brings us to an awareness of what is happening in the food industry that affects us, not only as food that we ingest, but what happens to our environment from the way the foods are acquired.
During the show, physicians and other individuals are interviewing regarding diet and health. Through these and other interviews, the producer examines the alleged connection between the meat, dairy, and pharmaceutical industry, as well as various health organizations.
In extreme synopsis, the documentary explains and warns us of the serious health problems that are a consequence of consuming meat and dairy products, and that a conspiracy exists to cover this up, including the detrimental effects on the environment of all of the cows that are in pastures that are needed in order to supply the amount of milk and beef that our populations require.
This documentary has received a viral response to the extent that programs like the Doctors and Dr. Oz have dedicated large amounts of time to discussing and, in some cases, refuting the arguments set forth in the documentary.
Many of the detractors of the production, such as Martin Catan from an Amsterdam university, who called the film propaganda which exaggerates the health risks of meat, eggs, and dairy, and rather dangerously claims veganism prevents or cures just about any disease like cancer or diabetes, still stressed that everyone should eat less meat than the population currently does on average, and that going completely vegan can be a healthy lifestyle if you make sure you get all nutrients you need, and it's also good for the environment.
It is interesting that Dr. Stark from the TV show The Doctors, who appeared to agree initially with those who criticized the show as an exaggeration, later did a show that virtually refuted his initial comments, in that he too basically agreed with the results of the show, even if he felt that the studies shown in the film were biased.
Reporters, actors, and sports figures have jumped on the bandwagon after seeing the show and began a vegan or more vegan lifestyle in response to the show. So even if some of what the film's detractors say is valid, and I'm not saying it is, following the suggestions in the documentary will almost certainly get you an improvement in your health and the health of our environment.
Diet is important for our health. This we cannot dispute. As a matter of fact, the World Health Organization or WHO, pinpoints four factors as the main causes of death before the age of 86. These are poor diet, high blood pressure, obesity, and tobacco use. Three of the four are diet-related.
Even the National Research Council and the Institute of Medicine concluded that diet and activity patterns far ahead of tobacco, alcohol, drug abuse, gun violence, and car accidents are the main factors behind premature deaths in the United States. Our genes? Well, no more than 20% of risk for the primary causes of death come from our genes. And only 5 to 10% of cancer cases are attributable to genetic defects. The other 90 to 95%, well, they're rooted in our lifestyle and the environment.
For example, colon cancer, which happens to be the second most lethal cancer in the U.S., is the cancer most directly affected by what you eat.
My mother always told me, you are what you eat. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, 80% of all heart disease, strokes, and type 2 diabetes can be prevented.
Let's take as an example diabetes. A study of Seventh-day Adventists gave the following results. By the way, about 50% of Seventh-day Adventists are vegetarians who eat no meat but do eat dairy and eggs. But there are a large number who eat no animal protein at all, and some who don't even eat fish.
The prevalence of diabetes was measured in groups of Seventh-day Adventists.
The prevalence of diet in vegans, that means those who eat no meat, dairy, or eggs, was 2.9%. The prevalence of diabetes in vegetarians, meaning those who ate no meat but did eat eggs and dairy, increased to 3.9%, and those who eating fish went up to 4.8%.
So how about meat eaters? That includes fish, dairy, and eggs. Their prevalence of diabetes was 2.5 times that of the vegans at 7.6%. Still remember that all these figures come strictly from Seventh-day Adventists, because even those who ate meats generally ate less than the general population.
So scientists took these findings and said that a person who ate meat just once a week over the span of 17 years would have a 70% higher risk of developing diabetes than a vegetarian.
And even this number is low, since the studies compared only those who were of normal weight. Obesity simply worsens the odds. The primary focus of the movie is exploring the role of some of the major components of the American food and health system as represented by the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and other entities. There is a conflict when the suggestion of hypocrisy exists for these organizations to take monies from some of the very groups that produce foods linked to chronic diseases.
The same groups place recipes on their respective website containing the foods that are known to adversely affect the same people who had the disease that the groups are fighting against. For example, the American Diabetes Association has recipes that promote foods such as bacon-wrapped shrimp.
At one point in the program, they mention the amount of pus in milk, and of course dairy products that obviously contain milk. Well, the truth is there is pus in milk, and mastitis is a common infection in dairy cows.
So, when you see advertisement for milk substitutes such as almond milk, soy milk, coconut milk, rice milk, or the dozen other choices that contain no pus.
And although the film likens eating one egg to smoking 5 cigarettes, which may or may not be an exaggeration, it did alert the public to the dangers of eggs to our health. Are processed meats a carcinogen? A lot of time was spent on this on the documentary.
The World Health Organization and its International Agency for Research on Cancer in October 2015 reviewed extensive literature to determine that bacon and similar foods cause colorectal and other cancers. the science behind the determination of the WHO in relation to meat and cancer has been verified by other researchers. About 34,000 deaths a year are attributed worldwide to the ingestion of processed red meats.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. Carmen and I are going to continue talking about a little resume of the documentary from the Netflix called What the Health and how it relates to your health. The documentary asked the question whether health agencies should continue to promote these foods and recipes in view of the WHO analysis.
Now, although all the environmental effects are certainly important in our lives in the long term, today we would just like to concentrate on your diet and let you watch the documentary for information on the effects that cattle, pig, and poultry farming have on our environment.
The documentary is called What the Health and may be seen on Netflix at the present time. You may also find snippets of the show on YouTube. So, first, let's talk about something called casomorphins.
By definition, casomorphins are opioid peptides. In other words, protein fragments derived from the digestion of milk protein casein.
There are definite associations between serum levels of beta casomorphins and the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, histamine release, lymphocytosis, and stimulation of food intake, specifically high-fat foods.
For the first 99% of human history, men was in survival mode and our bodies were always looking for a survival edge, so we apparently evolved to seek out foods with the most extreme calorie density for the least amount of effort. Meat has 1,200 calories per pound, while raw salad vegetables have about 100 calories per pound.
You can probably guess where I'm going from here. Our ancestors went for the meat. But now, we're in the 21st century, and we're in a different situation. Our brains are still hardwired for scarcity and famine. Our primordial brain is still hardwired to look for fat. And our pleasure centers constantly seek it out.
In drug abuse, this could be called tolerance, as obese patients never get the same satisfaction that others might. So, high-fat, salty, sugary meals cause a release of the chemical dopamine in the brain. The higher the caloric density, the more dopamine is secreted.
But if the drugs or food become a habit and bathe the brain with unnaturally high amounts of dopamine, then the dopamine receptors are overwhelmed and the brain takes action by producing less dopamine or even removing the receptors. When this happens, the body requires a higher amount of the drug or that triple cheese pizza to achieve the same satisfaction.
These compounds that trigger our pleasure centers are isolated, added, and artificially enhanced in food to basically ensnare us. Our ancestors ate meat that was about 15% fat. Now, animals are bred with far higher percentage, even about 50%. This is the extra fat that causes marbling in steak. The more marbling, the tastier.
But let's get to cheese addiction. The main protein in milk is casein. This is very concentrated in cheese. In the human digestive system, casein breaks down to create caseomorphins. Remember that we mentioned that a few minutes ago? These are morphine-like compounds that attach to the same brain centers as heroin. Now, we're not joking here. They attach to the same brain centers as heroin.
They may not be as strong as heroin, but they are strong enough to make you come back again and again to dairy, of course, to cheese, even if you are gaining weight.
Now, don't get me wrong. All milk contains casein, even human breast milk. But in an infant, this is advantageous, as you need the baby to crave mother's milk. So doesn't it make sense that milk is a little bit addictive for the survival of the species? According to Dr. Davis, dairy is truly an addiction.
Let's look at a little bit of history here. Around 100 years ago, most Americans ate an average of 3 pounds of cheese a year. Now the number is more like 34 pounds.
That's over 10 times the amount.
And cheese is mostly saturated fat.
We've probably all heard from childhood that eating large amounts of sugar is not good. Now, this is true. Our mothers were right. But when it comes to health threats that put Americans in the hospital, on the operating table, and on the autopsy table, according to Dr. Clapper, it is by far the animal flesh-based diet that is the number one culprit.
Just getting down to basics, remember that an ounce of fat contains 255 calories, while 1 ounce of sugar only contains 113 calories. So you are more than doubling your caloric intake when you are eating fat.
And fat builds up plaques in your arteries, causing your blood flow to slow down. Now, don't think that this is just in the elderly. The fat accumulation starts right after birth. One of the major problems that the documentary had with the research that was done to prove the benefits of meat and dairy-based diets were funded by the same groups that profited from the results, such as the beef, milk, and egg industries.
There is something called the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. It is put out by the USDA or the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Initially, when it was created, the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee consists of 11 members, three of which had ties to food and drug industries.
The three included the National Dairy Council, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and the International Life Sciences Institute. In the year 2000, this increased to 7 out of 11 having industry ties. Then, in 2005, this increased to 11 out of 13. And as recently as 2010, the number is 9 out of 13. These include Danone Institute, Kraft, General Foods, Campbell Soup Company, McDonald's, Novo Nordisk, Eli Lilly, GlaxoSmithKline, and the Chocolate Manufacturers Association.
Over the years, industry ties of just the 2000 committee included, and this list is by no means complete, the American Meat Institute, National Dairy Council, the American Egg Board, Gatorade Life Science Institute, Kellogg Company, the Sugar Association, Miller Brewing Company, yes, the beer company, Weight Watchers, and the National Association of Chain Drug Stores.
But even with all of these, the 2015 DGAC stated that the U.S. population should be encouraged and guided to consume dietary patterns rich in vegetables, fruits, whole grains, seafood, legumes, and nuts, moderate in low and non-fat dairy products and alcohol, lower in red and processed meats, and low in sugar-sweetened food.
They also stated in their report that consistent evidence indicates that in general, a dietary pattern that is higher in plant-based foods and lower in animal-based foods is more healthy than the current average diet of Americans.
Wow, groundbreaking. Did I mention several times that this was the Dietary Guidelines for Americans committee that put forth the recommendations? But in a stunning reversal, In March 2015, Senator John Thune of South Dakota led 29 other senators in writing a letter to the USDA's Secretary Tom Vilsack and HHS Secretary Sylvia Burwell, urging the USDA and HHS to reject the DJA committee's recommendations regarding the role of lean red meat in a healthy diet, which, and I quote, alarming to the livestock, pork, and poultry industries. These 30 senators speaking for the alarmed livestock industries received over $1 million from the food industry between 2013 and 2014, half of which came from the beef and cattle industry.
So what has come of this? Well, in January 2016, the 2015-2020 Dietary Guidelines for Americans was released, and there was no mention, despite the explicit advice of the DGAC, of reducing meat consumption.
As a matter of fact, the 2015 guidelines recommend just over 2 pounds a week of meat, poultry, eggs, and seafood. That's exactly the same as the 2010 guidelines. Industry controls us. Associations such as the American Diabetes Association take monies from groups such as Kraft Foods, makers of Velveeta processed cheese, Oscar Mayer processed meat and Lunchables, Campbell's Soup Company, Coca-Cola, Hershey's, Dan and Kroger, and Walgreens.
Even the American Heart Association has sponsors. They include the National Cattlemen Beef Association, National Livestock and Meat Board, Subway, Walgreens, Texas Beef Council, South Dakota Beef Industry Council, Domino's Pizza, Purdue, and multiple drug companies including Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Sanofi.
The documentary, as we said, was about an hour and a half. We only have 24 minutes to talk about it here and what it presents to the public.
All in all, the evidence is quite clear that eliminating or at least markedly lowering the amounts of all meats, including beef, pork, poultry, and the associated foods, including dairy, meaning milk and cheese products, and going to a more plant-based diet will help you improve your health and live a more satisfying and comfortable daily life.
Go vegan or vegetarian? Well, we have. Now it's up to you. Can you get all your nutrition from this diet? Yes, you can. And next week, we'll show you how.
And don't think that you will forgo culinary pleasures. You can be just as satisfied and enjoy your meals without the animal-based ingredients.
We promise you that we will try to do that next week on the Hey Doc Show. I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc Show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.
WBOB AM 600.